You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores!
Goal! Scoring the goals!
He shoots, he scores!
Goal! Scoring the goals!
Hello and a warm welcome along to William Hill's League Football Podcast on this edition. As ever, we'll be hearing the thoughts of Pete Farries covering all the action in the Championship. We've got Gav Puchalowski covering League One and Al Ross will be dealing with League Two. Sam Norris in the chair this week, stepping in for Alex Dunn. And I'm delighted to say joining me live in the studio, rather than via phone lines, is Pete Farries. How are you, Pete?
I'm very well, thank you.
And sounding crystal clear.
Absolutely. It's one of those times though the season where it kind of dawned on me that if the Championship was a person, it's probably about 65 to 70 years old this season now.
Yes, so I'm
a little bit kind of,
it's reaching the autumn of its,
it's probably at the end of its autumn. Yes. Almost. So which is ironic because we've just got into spring, but you know what I'm saying, don't you?
Mm.
I'm a little bit melancholy. I'm feeling a bit melancholy about it. There you go. I was going to say melancholic, but I'm not entirely sure that's correct.
That sounds like an awful disease, that.
Yeah, it does. I'm afraid your son has got melancholic. But there's still some great value. And we saw midweek, you know, some of the results. The big teams pulling away, the small teams drowning. But this stage of the season is one of my favourite times because traders start to price teams on what they need to do.
Yes.
And that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to do it. And that's
correct.
Why there's so much great value at this time of the year.
Yeah, I like this time of the season as well because we get a whole clutch of teams who are on the beach as well. So you get a lot of teams who have done for the season, really. They've got nothing much to play for. And it is very much the business end of the season, the nitty-gritty, if you like. Just one televised Championship game for us this week. It is Brighton and Hove Albion who take on Derby County at home. And the betting ahead of this one has Brighton at 5-6. The draw is 13-5, 18-5 for Derby. Brighton are 3 points behind Newcastle at the top of the table, but they've got a nice cushion to Huddersfield, who are in third. Although they do have a game in hand, it has to be said, with the 6 points clear of Huddersfield. Newcastle obviously drew against Reading in midweek. Brighton were beaten by Forest the week before, so that was their mini blip perhaps. They were also beaten by Newcastle. Got back on track with a win against Rotherham. Has that draw between Newcastle and Reading opened the door again for Brighton?
To a certain extent. I mean, ultimately what Brighton are doing is looking behind them, aren't they?
Yes.
If you said to Chris Hughton now, do you want to give it all for a shot at the title, or do you want to just crawl over the line into the Championship? He'd be on his belly before he'd finished the conversation.
I mean,
and quite rightly, because that's exactly what I would do. Brighton would take it all now. I mean, 3 wins from 5, they obviously lost 2 back-to-back, then beat Rotherham midweek, which they should be doing, but it at least shows a club that can get back to doing what they should be doing, because losing to Newcastle, kind of in the way they did it as well, was a bit brutal.
Yes.
Losing to Forest is unacceptable, certainly to the extent, I mean, 3-0 against Forest. I don't care that Forest at home, it unacceptable. Mm. But the win over Rotherham, nice and easy, nice and gentle, not a problem. This is a Brighton side who've lost at home this season just twice, to Brentford and, of course, that loss to Newcastle. I can let them off both of those results, mainly the Newcastle one. How can you build an argument for Derby? They don't win this game. They're pretty much done for playoffs anyway, really, if we're being absolutely honest.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't win this one, go home.
Yes.
You know, season over, lads. Go home. 1 win in 5 for Derby. You are looking at 1 win since the 31st of January for Derby. It really is that atrocious. They've scored in 1 away game of their last 5. Didn't score at Leeds, who ironically are a very good team like Brighton. Didn't score at Newcastle, who are a very good team like Brighton. Didn't score at Villa and Blackburn, who are nowhere near
bad
as good
teams
as Brighton. But yet they're not scoring. And this is the thing. I mean, you look at the quote-unquote big boys in the league this season. They've not gone anywhere and done anything. They drew at Reading, okay. Lost at Huddersfield 1-0. Lost at Forest, Lost at Norwich 3-0. Lost at Leeds 1-0. Lost to Newcastle. What kind of argument? I can't put together an argument for Derby here, Sam.
No, correct. Neither can I. as you say, they've really fallen short at the top table this season. Not even those massive fish as well, just generally top six, top eight sides they've been struggling against.
I mean, I know we're recording this on Friday. This is the Friday night game, so by the time people maybe listen to this on Saturday morning, this whole conversation is moot and they can just fast forward to the clips. I appreciate that. But I went on record that even if I'm wrong, Right now, I'm going hell for leather on Brighton. I mean, I am slathering myself in Brightonness and jumping into off the pier. It's simple as that. 5-6. Again, it might be with hindsight, it might not be. Minus a goal is a definite play for Brighton here as well on the handicap markets for me. 21-10. Derby don't score away from home, really. Brighton do score at home. 21-10 is great. Glenn Murray's had a great time on television this season. He's 11-8. Knockett's my favourite pick here at 19-10. Again, this is a guy who scored midweek, of course, in their victory. He is a guy with 12 league goals this season. He is always a good price for what is a very good goal-scoring midfielder. So, this game, for me, on form and on generally what I know about football and betting, which we can all debate whether it's good or bad, a lot or little, whatever, but I can't find an argument to be pro-Derby. I can't. Every bet that I put together, I always say, I like this, but can I find the argument for that?
Yeah.
And sometimes I go, do you know what? I've heard the argument for that, but I still like this. Here, I go, I like Brighton. Can I find an argument for that? No.
Fair enough. Brighton 5-6 the play then?
And minus a goal.
Overwhelmingly, yeah, minus a goal as well. You can play Brighton win to nil. That is available at 7-4. What's your favourite bet for this game then, Pete, before we hear your thoughts on the rest of the league?
Outside of the outright, this is a your odds game, of course. Yep. Don't forget there's enhanced odds available as well. But I think I just pick Knockett any time. No doubt that he's been in good form. He's a good player. He's obviously one of the nicest. Obviously, it comes from a very sad tragedy, but one of the kind of the most heartwarming things I've seen in football this season was the tweeted pictures of Anthony Knockett at, of course, his father's funeral and the Brighton squad there. I mean, that for me typifies what Chris Hughton does with the players that come under his charge. He did it at Newcastle. He did it everywhere he's been. He's an incredibly good bloke. He's built a great team effort. And for me, that was one of the, you know, obviously from something very sad, it was still one of the most kind of nice non-footballing football moments to see all those players there supporting their teammate. Knockett's had a very, obviously, stressful time in that regard, but scored midweek. If we're talking about his football, he's got 12 league goals this season, which for a midfielder, attacking midfielder albeit, but a midfielder, is a good haul. And I'd take Anthony Knockett as probably my favourite bet at 19-10.
Okay, Anthony Knockett then to notch any time in the Brighton versus Derby game. Kickoff on Friday night at 7:45. Do check out all the betting on the William Hill website for that. And as Pete mentioned there, this is a hashtag your odds game. So you can tweet at William Hill with your bet for the game. And the traders will do their very best to price it up for you. We're going to hear now from Pete on the rest of the championship. And then Gav Puchalowski on League One and Al Ross on League Two.
So with the weeks of the Championship and I suppose of all of English domestic football beginning to maybe hit its twilight years, maybe it's about 60, 65 right now, I think, is the English Championship. But there's still loads of value and still loads of good ways to make a bit of money. Let's start then, first and foremost, at Griffin Park with Brentford against Huddersfield. Now, Brentford at the time of recording in this market are there at, well, I think an interesting 9-5. The draw 12-5, but Huddersfield there at 8-5. Now, we know what Huddersfield can do. We know how good a side Huddersfield are. And we know that, let's be fair, a lot of what Huddersfield and what makes Huddersfield great is their home form. Of course, 13 home wins this season. They are absolutely superb. Brentford at home, well, they were a team who were superb at home, then terrible at home, then good at home, then brilliant away. They've been all over the place this season, Brentford, but ultimately, it has been a very positive season for them. Now, for Huddersfield, 3 wins from their last 5 away games. They won at Wigan, won at QPR, who were, surprisingly, the most informed team in the Championship. And they won, of course, away at Rotherham. 1-0 draw last time against Barnsley, and of course a 2-0 loss to Sheffield Wednesday are within that bracket as well. For Brentford at Griffin Park, well, things have been, like I said, all over the place, but they have won 3 of their last 5 games generally, but those were away from home. Now, their home form has been 2 wins from the last 5, including a draw against Norwich and including a good draw, against Brighton. They lost at home to Newcastle, they battered Villa, but we know what Villa are like away from home, and they hit 4 past Rotherham, but we know what Rotherham are like both away from home and generally as well. The first place I went in this game was the over 2.5 goals market. I think over 2.5 goals is an absolute pearler here at 4-5. You've just seen The run of games for Brentford at home that have been over is 3-6-6-3 before that as well. So really, really decent run in terms of form for them. For Huddersfield away from home, has landed in 2 of the last 3. In general, it's only landed in 2 of the last 5, to be honest, but the point still remains. I think the overs is a play at 4-5, but mainly I think Huddersfield are a play here. This is the time of the season when your fitness really starts to matter. If Huddersfield, of course, win this game, they will know that they're putting more pressure on Brighton and, well, maybe a little bit of pressure on Newcastle. They've been superb this season. I think they continue it. So I think Huddersfield are a really good play here at 8-5. Brentford are a good team, and you could argue are an okay price. But at the end of the day, I think this is a time when mid-table teams begin to just do some silly things, and I think it's where the top teams and the bottom teams carry on doing what they've done throughout the season. In Huddersfield's case, win games. So 8-5 Huddersfield is a beauty. And of course, we've been speaking, haven't we? Elias Kachunga is 7-5. Naki Wells, who scored the other day, is 6-4. Aaron Mooy is always interesting at 100-30. Joe Lolly's 3-1. There's plenty of goal scorer value to be found, but I think we start with Huddersfield. Next up, we go to a bit of an intriguing game in Staffordshire. Burton take on Nottingham Forest. Of course, two places not particularly that far from each other. 11-8 Burton, the draw 11-5, Nottingham Forest 9-4. Forest have, of course, been an incredibly strange team this season. They sit 18th in the league, just 2 points above Burton in 19th. And you've got to say that, albeit they've been a strange side, they did get a great surprise win against Brighton recently, the 0-0 draw with Wigan, but they're not a good side. They are just not a good side. If you're looking at their 2017 league form, you're looking at 4 wins. Now, 3 of those were at home early season. So let's go to an intriguing game in Staffordshire. Burton against Nottingham Forest, of course. A little bit of a derby, this one. Little bit. 11-8 Burton, the draw 11-5. Forest in the market at 9-4. Let's start with the away side, because Forest have won just 4 games in 2017. All 4 of those were at home, and the teams they beat, Bristol City, going through that horrible period, of course, Rotherham, okay, Villa, never backable on the road, and, okay, Brighton, that came out of nowhere. But the point still remains, 1 win in 5 for Forest, barely winning, and away from home, absolutely atrocious. Of course, this season, just 2 away wins for Forest at Ipswich and at Barnsley, but they are not a side to be trusted on the road. Can you trust Burton, though? An intriguing side. They, of course, at one point looked like they were definitely down. Some good form recently has seen them at least drag themselves towards some safety since the 21st of January. It was win, loss, win, loss, win, draw, 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 draw. They have at least been able to pick up a couple of points here and there, which has dragged them away from that relegation zone. I think Burton are value here. I think Burton really, really are value. Don't forget these two teams met, of course, on the opening day of the season. There were 7 goals that day. Burton at one point, of course, 2-1 up as well in that match. I think they might see it through. Now, both teams to score has been relatively prevalent recently for Burton's games, and Forest can always score and concede in equal measure. This is a both teams to score definite for me at 19-20, and considering there were 7 goals in the first meeting between these two teams, over 2.5 at 5-4 is also worth a play. As a goal scorer, well, Jackson Irvin has carried so much of my money this season, and he has not let me down. 13-5 any time for the Australian, 9 league goals this season, and did score last time out against Sheffield Wednesday as well. Got Burton that vital equaliser, which at the end got them a point, a very good point at Hillsborough. But when Forest's away form is as atrocious as it is, there is no argument that Burton, a side who actually have been quite decent at home, are a good play here. So Burton's home form, I'm just going to go off on a bit of a tangent, I hadn't planned this, but Burton's home form this season, they opened with a loss to Bristol City, they beat Sheffield Wednesday, Derby here, Rotherham, Birmingham, Cardiff being beaten here, they were narrowly beaten by a goal by Brighton, narrowly beaten by a goal by Huddersfield, narrowly beaten by a goal by Newcastle. Good teams. Now Wigan losing to Wigan at home, not great, 2-0, Fulham won 2-0, they beat Wolves, they beat Norwich, and they've just drawn with Blackburn. I think Burton at 11-8 are a really, really good bet. And for the first time in a very long time, I'm with Nigel Clough's boys. QPR's form is the 4th best in the Championship. 4th best in the Championship, QPR. They really have kicked on of late. 4 wins from 5. They battered Birmingham, beat Wigan, beat Cardiff, beat Barnsley, and of course lost away at Deepdale. But let's just very quickly dissect the teams that they've beaten at Loftus Road recently. Not that they're not good results, They beat Wigan, struggling. Beat Cardiff, okay, solid side. Beat Barnsley, okay, a solid side. Not impressive, though. Away from home, beat Birmingham, very poor side. Indeed, of course, at the moment. They are a side who are doing very, very well. But I will take Leeds here. I will take Leeds. And there's very little you can do to stop me, you absolute maniac. Because, yes, Leeds away form. Two wins, two draws, and a loss from the last five. That loss came at Huddersfield, who are, as we know, nowhere near as good as today's opponents. Leeds had those back-to-back losses, Huddersfield and Cardiff. But they beat Bristol City, they beat Sheffield Wednesday, and they had real character when they were under the cosh to not only beat Birmingham, but beat them minus a goal. Now, there is no doubt that QPR are a very, very decent side. But look at Leeds' home form this season. The aberration against Cardiff was a strange result. Then they've lost to Newcastle, they've lost to Huddersfield early season, and I'm not going to count the Birmingham game, but it is there. Certainly, for me, the fact that they've lost just four times at home, a silly result against Birmingham early season, a silly result against Cardiff recently, then the other two, Newcastle and Huddersfield, I just cannot see a silly result here. Now, one thing about QPR's form recently, of course, they're both teams to score. That's landed in six games in a row now. So whether you're looking at Leeds at even money, whether you're looking at the draw at 12-5, whether you're looking at QPR at the time of recording at threes, you are still, no matter what, looking for both teams to score. Landed, of course, albeit late, in Leeds' midweek game as well. Both teams to score is 19-20. Over 2.5, I think, is a beauty, an absolute beauty, at 23-20. So big, delicious ticks for those prices there. In terms of goal scorers, well, Chris Wood has 22, blah, 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 blah. Obvious. Play 23-20, Chris Wood. We've seen Idrissa Seer, of course, come into a bit of form, 12-5. This isn't my nap this week. Normally I finish with my nap bet, but I'm not going to do that this week. I'm going to mix it up because I'm just that kind of crazy, zany kind of guy. So I do think Leeds are even money, or even at, I'd play them as short as 8-11 probably is the shortest I would play them. But at the moment, they're even money at the time of recording. I think that's a good play. QPR going through some fantastic form, but you've got to look at relative to who they have played. They haven't played anyone as good as Leeds and succeeded for a while. So I will take Leeds at even money here. Thank you very much. In terms of my nap, well, I had Reading last week, obviously, and I considered a couple here. I love Huddersfield at 8-5, but then Brentford are the informed team in the Championship. They're definitely opposable, but I think they're the informed team in the Championship at the moment, Brentford. So as much as I like Huddersfield at 8-5, I'm not going to nap them. As much as I like Leeds here at even money, I'm not going to nap them. That's right, folks. I thought about the both teams to score being a possible nap, but it won't be. I think Burton at 11-8 to beat Nottingham Forest. Forest have won just twice on the road this season, are very, very poor. Were lucky to beat Burton first time around as well in that absolute humdinger in the opening game of the season for these two teams. The Pirelli is a tight, tricky ground, and I think Burton will succeed. Four draws in a row might make you think the draw could be a play here at 11-5 for Burton, but no. For me, Burton Albion at 11-8 will be my nap of the week. Whatever you're back in, very best of luck.
Let's crack on and have a look at this weekend's League One action, starting with Gillingham against Scunthorpe. Scunthorpe have only won three from their last 24 points available. Their bubble has burst, the form has fallen off a cliff, all the cliches you can attach to Scunthorpe, and I can't trust them to win anywhere at the moment, home or away. And Gillingham at home, four draws and a victory. Both teams to score lands a lot at Priestfield, so do have a look at both teams score between Gillingham and Scunthorpe. But Gillingham are 12-5, and they've just started to win a couple of games. Confidence will be higher in the Gillingham camp than it will be in the Scunthorpe camp. And I think Gillingham at 12-5 are very interesting, but I start with my nap selection of Gillingham draw no bet at 11-8, but could be the draw at 5-2 as well. My second bet involves Fleetwood against Bolton. Fleetwood, team of the season for me, even though I'm a Sheffield United fan and we're way clear at the top. Fleetwood, brilliant. And I think they're a play to beat Bolton at 13-10 and cement their place in the top two. Fleetwood have made the most of Bolton's demise in form and Scunthorpe's as well. Fleetwood are winning games left, right and centre. Bolton have only lost four or five away from home this season, and every single one has been unders. 1-0, 2-0, 1-0, 2-0. That's what Bolton tend to do when they lose. So if you're backing Fleetwood, do take them at 13-10, but take them unders as well. Three draws in four for Bolton away from home. Again, like Gillingham and Scunthorpe, the draw could be a scupper in this one. But I can tell you that I do fancy Fleetwood to win this game and cement their place in the top two. Fleetwood and unders a play, but Fleetwood at 13-10 nonetheless. And my third and final bet involves Oxford at 8-5. I know Oxford have lost their last three games at home. Oxford's home form is pretty poor. If Oxford were half as good at home as they were away from home, then Oxford would be in the playoffs. Oxford are 8-5 to win away at Peterborough. Peterborough side who have lost 3-4 at home, and actually home and away form, Peterborough have lost 4-5. And Peterborough, when they do get beat at home, they can get walloped as well. 4-0 defeat at home to MK Dons and a 4-1 defeat at home to Southend. And Oxford United, two of their last four victories away from home have been by that scoreline. They have won 4-0 at Chesterfield and they've also won 4-0 at Rochdale. Oxford away from home, 12 points from 12, and they scored 11 goals in those four games away from home. So actually, I'm very tempted to say Peterborough and Oxford could be over 3.5 goals and possibly over 4.5 goals. But Oxford are making up for their poor form at home by taking games away from home, scoring plenty and winning plenty. So I like Oxford at 8-5 to pile on the misery for a poor Peterborough side at the moment. My three best bets for this weekend, my NAP selection, draw no bet, Gillingham at 11-8 to beat Scunthorpe. Fleetwood Town at 13-10 to beat Bolton. Could be Fleetwood and unders, 1 or 2 nil. And Oxford, and it could be overs on the goals, over 3.5 goals. But Oxford at 8-5 to win at Peterborough. Just over 13-1.
It's the two teams at the top of the form league that meet this week. Luton hosting Stevenage. We're starting here because for some reason, the league's most on-form team is 17-5. Stevenage, 7 wins in 8, the other a draw at Inform Exeter. It has been a kind run of fixtures, and Luton are good, and against most teams they would deserve to be a shade of odds on, but actually I feel the fuel is draining. Last week's win at Yeovil ending a run of 3 without a win. Luton's biggest problem is massive inconsistency. It's why they haven't featured very often on this podcast this season. They've not won 3 league games in a row at all this season. They've only gone back-to-back wins twice. 17-5 on this Stevenage side? No. This is also a derby, by the way, geography fans. Last season, Stevenage did the double over Luton. There's another way in here as well, because for Luton, the last 9 games, that's since New Year's Eve, 7 of them have been both teams to score. For Stevenage, it's 4-5, or 10-15 if you prefer. I mention it because both sides here are winning by outscoring opposition, not by keeping it tight and grinding it. And this game features the two most in-form strikers in the league. Matt Godden has only failed to score in one of his last 7 games for Stevenage. 8 goals in 7, 2 against Notts County last week. Danny Hilton has only failed to score once in his last 7 games for Luton. 8 goals in 7, 2 against Yeovil last week. Hilton is 11-10 to score any time. Godden 7-4. For both of them to score, 9-2. I mean, it could be a draw, this, but I don't think a draw does either side any good. The playoffs look pretty much set for both, and the winner here would have a chance to really join the title and the automatic promotion races. Luton have only drawn 5 out of 17 at home this season anyway. Stevenage have only drawn 4, full stop. So I'm willing to take the big 17-5 as an outright single on Stevenage and the huge 13-2 on Stevenage and both teams to score. At the other end of the spectrum, the Newport County supporter forums make for interesting reading right now. It's saying something that Graham Wesley got the job when he was 3 points from safety. He made them tough to beat, went on a decent run. Last week, they were thrashed by a late Orient side who are facing a winding up order in court and are frankly terrible. I said last week Orient would pull it together in terms of work rate, but also said a Wesley side should match them on that front, and I was wrong. 4-0, acca-destroyingly wrong. They're now 11 points from safety, Newport. 1 win in 20. Wesley's quotes after the thrashing were not far off. Yeah, we're probably going down. Reportedly, the board are giving him 2 games to save his job. They're at Crewe. Now, Crewe aren't pulling up trees. They've not been pulling up trees all season. But 2 wins in 3 at home, the other being a defeat by juggernaut Stevenage, an arrow one at that. Maybe if Newport were at home, I'd worry about a bounce. But odds against on Crewe at home against this Newport side is fine. Newport, 9 points since November the 19th. Crewe, 10 points since February the 11th. Oh, and finally, do you know the last time that Yeovil won away? Mid-October. One of only two away wins for them all season, and their home form is starting to dip as well. One league win in 16, that was on New Year's Eve. There are a lot of draws in there, but a couple of months ago, they were creditable draws. So in January, draws against Exeter and Portsmouth, defeats to the likes of Doncaster. They became in February draws against Notts County and Mansfield. Defeats to Cheltenham last week, a 4-0 thrashing by Luton. And Mansfield, with 3 wins in 4 at home, 6 wins in 9. And that is odds against at 13-10. I'm calling it, that's the nap. Mansfield, along with Crewe and Stevenage, would be a treble of 20.75-1.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.